The following audio is from Redemption Church. More information about our church can be found at www.redemptionchurchlacombe.org.
Take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 through 9. As you see there on the screen, today's title of the sermon comes straight from the text in verse 7, 8, and 9 that says to not forsake your mother's teaching. As today, that whole goal of this message is I want to encourage and build up those of you who are moms, those of you who have little tykes that are running pitter-patters on the floor, or moms who have teenagers, or mothers who have grown children. My heart is to encourage you today, because I know that many of you may feel that your work is in vain and wondering if it ever matters. Well, I want to build you up today and encourage you from God's Word that it does. And the instruction clearly given in this passage of Scripture comes from a king, King Solomon, according to chapter 1, verse 1, as he's speaking to his son, giving him some wisdom and some instruction. And he makes it very clear as he passes on in this whole book. This very book is full of wisdom. It fits in the genre of wisdom. It's called Proverbs because it's just a list of multiple truths and principles that he can live by. But it's contained in this several times that he draws attention not just to his wisdom, but also the mother's teaching that this son that he's instructing, that mother's teaching was just as equally as important as what the wisdom that the father was passing on. And so I want to encourage you, moms, today. I want to encourage you that it's more than just making the meals and washing the clothes and helping them tie shoelaces and balancing checkbooks and all the multiplicity of roles that you have. Today, what is the most paramount thing in the midst of all of those things as a godly mother is to point them towards God and to give them godly teaching. As we look at this passage of Scripture, there is an assumption that is made in this passage of Scripture that the mother that he is referring to is a mother who loves God. We know that based upon verse 7, 8, and 9, because he is putting it in the context to the son to not neglect the mother's teaching. And it follows after verse 7, which talks about that the Lord, the fear of the Lord, is the beginning of knowledge. So as we talk about this, I want to just give a challenge from the very beginning. If you are a mother who has not yet surrendered your life to Christ, then I want to challenge you and just encourage you that your true hope, your true energy, and your support is going to be in God alone. And He is the one who can help you make an eternal difference in the life of your child. Let's read this text together. Proverbs 1, verse 7 through 9. As we read this passage of Scripture, then we'll go back and there's three truths that I just want to glean from this passage of Scripture of giving this to you. I give a disclaimer from the very beginning. I've said this to my wife. I've said this to people around me who's asked how they could pray for me this week. Mother's Day sermons are the hardest sermons for me to preach. Not because I don't think that God's Word has anything to say about it. God has a lot of things to say about it. But I say this with much reverence and awe of God Almighty. But know that I am a father, not a mother. But I'm thankful for godly influence in my own mother's life. I'm thankful for my wife, who's a godly mother as well. So know that I speak these out of grace and dependence upon God to encourage your heart today. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 through 9. Let's hear what the Word says to us, how your hearts can be encouraged. And as we read this, I want you to understand there's kind of twofold applications that are here. Moms, the direct application is to you. But those of you who are children, young at home, who are old enough to hear me and to understand, teenagers, I want to say a word to you from the very beginning. Listen closely. It's not hard to understand. You don't know it all. And those who have been given to you to be your parents, to give you instruction, God has given them much wisdom. And so this instruction, this title comes straight from this text. Don't forsake what they give you. So hear the benefits of listening to godly teaching that comes from your parents and how it can bless your own life. Verse 7 through verse 9. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. For they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. As we look at this passage of Scripture, the first truth that I want to draw and glean out of this is the aspect of partnership. Certainly, this is Mother's Day, but I want you to see in this passage of Scripture that Solomon is making it very clear that mothers and fathers partner together for the sake of teaching the fear of the Lord. And I want you to see that partnership that is there, that first truth that I want you to glean from this passage of Scripture. For you see that the whole purpose that is here in this passage of Scripture is connected to verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And then you see very clearly then in verse 8 that you hear Solomon say to his son, hear, my son, your father's instruction, but don't forsake your mother's teaching. Let me draw out these two differences as we put those points there for you on the screen so you can see point one. Hear. The word hear it is actually the word shema in the Hebrew language. And the word shema there to mean hear is more than just to have an audible understanding of it. But to hear in the Hebrew language and understanding was to take it in audibly, but there was an understanding that they were going to do it. It wasn't just to have the audible elements that's there, just to have the hearing sense, but to hear it and to do it. But I want you to notice the two different words that Solomon actually uses to describe the fathers and the mothers. He describes the fathers as instruction and the mothers as teaching. There's two different Hebrew words that are used here. This word instruction is actually in the Hebrew language a more disciplinary, the one that is actually enforcing stronger elements. And this word teaching actually is the Hebrew word Torah. The first five books of the Bible is known in the Hebrew as the Torah. The very basic truths that God gave. And so what the Solomon is saying is, look, we both have a role. The father has a role in giving the truths as well. And the mother has this more mild tone that's given that teaching. His point being there, what he's trying to do is use two different words to be able to be holistic in the element to say a father has a role and a mother has a role. Today is Mother's Day. But dads, if you're in the home, I want to speak a brief word to you. It is not just your wife's job. If you are a believer and you are in the home, step up to the plate and lead. Help. Be a partner. It's not just your job. It's not just her job. You partner together for the sake of the glory of God. That's the point of this passage of Scripture. So moms and dads, that this particular text is saying the whole point. The whole point, as it's pointing to in verse 7, is we partner together for the teaching, not just for them to understand math and English and science and history and biology and all those things that are necessary to live in life. And we want them to succeed in those things, but the greatest element that we want all of them to understand is verse 7, the fear of God. The fear of the Lord, because he makes a connection that that's the beginning of knowledge. That's the beginning of wisdom. Certainly, we can grow in earthly knowledge and earthly instruction. But the author here makes it very clear that the fear of God, which is meaning the reverence of God, the awe of God. We can't make them fear the Lord, but we sure can point them to that way. So, dad, step up to that plate to help. Moms, understanding this particular truth here, when it's saying to not forsake your mother's teaching, let me just encourage you in your partnership. I understand that as you hear this word today, some of you may be listening and you're saying, there is no partner in this picture. I am a solo parent, and I understand that there are many in our congregation who are in those shoes, and you may be solo for many different reasons. It may be that you're the only Christian parent. It may be that you are a single parent. Or maybe you are a Christian in the home and you're married and your husband is not. Or maybe you are a Christian mom and your husband is a passive Christian leader. For whatever those things are, I just want to encourage you that God's grace through the years has helped millions of moms in all of those roles to still be influential and be impactful to those that are under their care. So whatever scenario you are in, I want you to hear God's word, that you are valuable into the life of your child, to point them to the fear of God, to point them so that they can look back and they can be able to say, if there wasn't a father that was in the picture, or if there wasn't the dad who was actually helping them to understand those truths, they can say that my mom was godly and she taught me the fear of God. Even as Andrew mentioned, even in his explanation as we were leading worship, that one person that was impacted by a mother and a grandmother was Timothy. Let me point that to you in the text to help you to understand that influence. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Paul said these words to Timothy. He said, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. He's looking at Timothy's life and he says, look, I see the faith that you have, and it's because of this generational truths that passed down. Your mom impacted you. Your grandmother impacted you. Now, where was the father? Was he absent? Was he present? Did he have one? According to Scripture, he did have one. Acts chapter 16, verse 1 tells us that Timothy did have a father. The word says, when Luke wrote this, he says, Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. This is when he first met Timothy. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. Now, what that means is, as Luke wrote this, he's using language there. Notice the conjunction that's there as he's talking about Timothy and his mother. Said the mother was a believer, but the father was a Greek. Now, there were other Greeks who were also Christians at that time, but Luke is given a conjunction there to not even include his father as a Greek believer. He's pointing out that his father wasn't a Christian. That's why when you get to the book of Timothy, when Paul is writing to it, if his father had been a believer and had been influential, Paul would have listed it in the mix of the grandmother and the mother. What's the point of all that being brought out? Timothy was placed in one of the most prominent churches in Asia Minor. He was placed in Ephesus, which was a hub. It was a political base. It was an economical base. And God used him. Didn't have the father who was present, but his mother and his grandmother that passed on that teaching to him that he could have it. They were living out Proverbs verse 1, verse 8. They gave that teaching to them. So I want to give a tribute in this moment to two people, to my mother and then to my wife. To my mother and my father, they were an example of this partnership. An example of this partnership where there wasn't a battle of, it's my job to teach the children spiritual truths, or it's your job, or why are you overstepping the bounds? My parents both were partners in this particular thing that I can both even say today that my father was giving instruction and my mother was giving godly instruction as well. They were heeding and living out this particular truth that's there to this point that even today I can look back and know that both of them were influential in passing on truths to me. So I encourage you, be partners in the sake of the gospel. But I also give a tribute to my own wife. In our partnership in the gospel of Jesus Christ, for the sake of our kids, to be able to help them to understand the truths of God. So in regards to how that works practically in our home, so that in the mornings when I'm off to go to work and our kids who are being taught at home as they have breakfast, my wife does a devotion for our kids and with the kids over their breakfast, and then they start their day. In the evening time, often and frequent, at least the pattern is right now, a couple of nights a week throughout the week, she reads a Christian biography story to the kids, helping them to understand how God has worked. Presently, they're reading Amy Carmichael. They've done Nick Saint. They've done Hudson Taylor and George Mueller, giving them a history. So do I say in those moments, that's my job, not your job? No, I'm thankful for a wife who loves the word and wants to pass on those truths to our children. And then on Saturday nights, a pattern that we have, last Saturday night, we always gather on our bed and I lead a prayer time for us to pray for this service. We've prayed for you this last night that God would use these times. We're partnering together for the sake of the gospel. And we don't wait till teaching times is set down that we say, hey, on Thursday night, just the time we're going to have a Bible study. We want our lives to be filled with constantly pointing them to the truths of God. We want them to see God. Why? Because what's the whole purpose in it? The whole purpose is back in verse 7. So that they can fear the Lord. So I encourage you, moms, be diligent for the sake that you want your kids to have a high view of God, to help them to understand more than Jesus loves me, this I know. Dig into the nuggets of the Word of God so that they can have a huge, high, great view of God. We don't need to put God in this little box. We need to have our minds opened to the understanding of the greatness and the majesty, awe-inspiring God, so that can give us the reason to want to sing praises to the God, to give us the reason to want to proclaim His excellencies to our neighbors and to their friends. So, Mom, understand that you are instrumental to point your children, to give them hope, to give them a picture of the greatness of God. So, secondly, I want you to see not just that there's partnership. So more specifically to you as moms, I want to encourage you about faithfulness. From this passage of Scripture, moms, your job is to teach the fear of the Lord, but it is your child's responsibility to not forsake it. Look at that text again and notice the way by which that Solomon instructs his son. It's there in verse 8. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not. And the way we would say that in English would be, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Now, let me help you understand the way that by which that the language is being used here. He's saying, hear my instruction. Now, literally, this book of Proverbs is the instruction that he wants him to hear. It's in the present tense. Hear what I'm saying to you right now. But then he also then says, I want you to not forsake what your mom has given to you. Let me put it to you this way. You can't forsake something that you don't have. There is an assumption that is being made here is that this mother has been giving the teaching to this child, and now the father is saying, don't forsake it. Let me illustrate it to you this way. If I take my Bible and it is in my hands, to not forsake it would be like saying, don't let go of it. I have it presently. In my hands. That's the illustration by which what Solomon is saying is that, look, son, you've got the teaching in your mind, in your heart. Don't forsake it. Don't let go of it. That would be different than saying, here's the teaching and it's on the podium. And if his father would say, grab hold of it, take possession of it, that would imply that it's not even there yet. What is being said here is that the mother has been faithful and diligent through all the years up to this point, whether he's a young man, he's a young adult, we're not necessarily told exactly what it is. But the instruction that is here is to give them the instruction to say, don't forsake what is there. Now, do you know what the opposite is in regards to someone who doesn't heed this? It's actually told to us in verse 7. Look at the end of verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and fools despise wisdom and instruction. The understanding that's been given here is the element to say, look, your job, moms, you want desperately for your kids to grab a heart and a love for God. Your desire is for them to get the truths of God. But you can't make them. But what you can be diligent to do is just to be faithful to instill the truths into their life. To the point that you could be able to say, I don't want you to forsake what's been given to you. So when they walk out of your home for the first time to go to college, or if they walk out of your home to go to boot camp, or if they walk out of your home into a marriage, or they walk out of your home into a career and they're not there any longer, you can say to them, I beg you, don't forsake what's been given to you. They can't forsake if they don't have. My encouragement to you moms is in all those days when your hair is ready to be pulled out at the end of the day and you're putting your head on your pillow and you're wondering if all that you're doing is in vain, I just want to encourage your heavy heart today that it's not in vain. Continue to instill the truth into your children just day after day, moment after moment, opportunity after opportunity, and to continue to be able to give them the truth of God. It's your job to teach. They have the choice to hold it or to forsake that. Now, I want you to see that in this passage of Scripture, there's a promise that is here. There is an encouragement, because there is definitely partnership that is there, and there is an encouragement for faithfulness, to just be diligent, to just keep passing on the Word of God to them so they can grab a hold of the fear of God. But it really kind of begs the question and say, well, should the kids listen to their mom's teaching? Does it matter even what the mothers say at all? And let me just ask it this way. Are there any rewards for the sake of just being diligent and faithful? And the answer to that is yes in this passage of Scripture. It's such a beautiful picture. So I want to talk to you about the reward that is actually here in this passage of Scripture. There's definitely partnership and there's faithfulness that I just want to encourage you to continue to do. But the reward that is here is listed very clearly in verse 9. But let me state it to you this way. Mothers, be faithful with your teaching, because your teaching can lead to reward of victory and beauty in your child's life. Where do I get that from this passage of Scripture? Look at the imagery that is actually used in verse 9. Go back to verse 8, and let's put 8 and 9 together. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. Notice the conjunction in verse 9. For, what is he connecting? He's connecting the teaching there from the father and the mother. If he hears them and if he doesn't forsake them, they will be a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. Do you understand the imagery that the king is using here? The imagery that the king is using here are two pieces that were normally used to define or describe a victor and royalty. The garland for the head was something that was used. It would be woven together to symbolize someone who was a victor of some particular element. The pendant on the neck was a symbol of royalty. We see two pictures of this, at least two examples I would give you. One is in Genesis 41:42. After Joseph was put into power, second only to the Pharaoh put a gold chain around his neck. Daniel, in Daniel chapter 5, verse 29, when Belshazzar, who was the king at that time, there was a writing, God made a hand appear and wrote a message to him on the wall, and Daniel interpreted it. And after doing so, he's put third in command. And when he's done so, a gold pendant chain is put around his neck. What's the point of all that? Solomon is saying to his son, understand this, he's not saying just because who Solomon is a king, he's not saying just because you're my son that you're guaranteed to be royalty. He's saying it's the teaching of God that will be like a garland. It's the teachings of God that will be like a pendant around your neck, that will be like beauty to you, that will be the element of victory to you. This is not to be able to say that if you teach your children the fear of God, that this is guaranteeing that they're going to have financial success in life. This is not guaranteeing them that they are going to have perfect marriages and being perfect parents. But it is saying to them, the truths that you give them will help them to be victors in the midst of all those things that they face. It will help them to have lives that are at least beautiful to look at, that when they go through tragedy, when they go through sorrow, that when people look at them, they can say, those people are walking through, those kids, those now adults are walking through those things with hope. How did that happen? And they can point all the way back to be able to say, because of the teaching that they got. What does it look like practically? The text actually answers it very clearly for us in chapter 6. So turn to Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20 through 22. Because it's in this passage of Scripture where Solomon actually uses these very same words about hearing the father's instruction and the mother's teaching. And then he actually then lays it out for us more practically what that looks like in their lives. What would it look like in a child's life so they could have the garland on their head and to be able to have the pendant around their neck? verse 20. My son, this is Proverbs 6:20. My son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart always. Tie them around your neck. Now here's a picture. If we want to see how would their life be with the words teaching, to give them garland and this beautiful picture of a necklace of royalty and victory. Verse 22. Make the connection. If they're given this teaching and he's not forsaking the mother's teaching there in verse 20, verse 22, what's it going to be like? When you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk with you. For the commandment is a lamp and the teaching a light and the reproofs of discipline are the way of life. Do you hear that? What he's saying? If you give them that teaching faithfully, moms, he's saying that when they are living, when you're not with them, when you're not with them, the teaching will be with them. For when they walk, he's saying, it's going to lead them. When they lie down, it's going to watch over them. When they awake, it's going to talk with them. You're not always going to get to be with them, even though you may have a compassionate, concerning, caring heart of a mom. But you can rest in the fact that if you give them the truths of God, that the Spirit of God, who inspires the Word of God, can still be with them. That's the point that he's making. Forgive me for your examples. For example, if you are teaching them and you're leading them, when you're not there and when they're in college or when they're married and they're in a working career, God's word can still be with them if they have to make ethical decisions. Colossians 3:17, for example, if you've taught them that truth, it says, whatever you do, whether it's in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's practically a garland for their life and a pendant around their neck that can help them to live honorably in society and honor the glory of God. That's the fear of the Lord. What does it mean, for example, if they have options in front of them, that they have to make some decisions and make a righteous choice? If you've been faithful to teach them the word of God and the Holy Spirit, and they give their life to Christ, and the Holy Spirit lives within them, then the Holy Spirit can bring to mind the truths of God to help them. What about if you have taught them, you've poured teachings into their life, the garland for their head and the pendant around their neck? What can that look like? What does it look like when their lives fall apart? As a parent, your heart would ache and your heart would break. But if you've poured out this teachings to them, then they could rest on the rock truth that even though that their lives may be falling apart, if their marriages crumble, or if their career gets destroyed, or if they lose their health, they could hold to some truths like Colossians 1:17 that says, in Christ, he is before all things, and in him, he holds all things together. That's a garland. That's a pendant around their neck. That's the beauty. And that's the victory that we're talking about. That's the fear of the Lord, that they can hold to those truths. So you want to give them some concrete foundation. You want them to be able to rest on the truths of God so that when they're out of your hands, they're in the hands of God's truths. Did you notice the cycle that's here in this passage of Scripture? Look at it again. Look at it in verse 22. They walk, and then they lie down, and then they awake. It covers every area of their life. When they're walking through their day, and then when they go to sleep, and then when they wake up, it's there with them. How in the world, if you think about it in verse 22, how is it that God's truths that you give them can watch over them when they lie down? There's an element that if you know that the truths that you've been taught them and they're living honorably, then you know that they can actually lie down and have peace in their heart, that they've not hurt their parents, they've not hurt their enemies, they've not caused enemies, that they can live in peace with God. How is it that they can wake up and know the word's going to talk with them? Listen, this word right here is living and inspired of God. And if you've given that word to them, it's living. And as they live, then the word of God can actually help them, speak to them. So does the fear of the Lord teaching them, because that's the whole point. We want to instruct them and teach them, be faithful to those things so that these things can be the garland and can be the pendant around their neck. It's all to point them to they can have the fear of the Lord. Does it really matter? I want to give you two verses to show this truth to you. We'll have it there on the stream screen for you. Proverbs 14 reminds us and tells us in regards. Proverbs 14, verse 27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may turn away from the snares of death. That's how it leads them. That's how it watches over them. That's how it talks with them. Because the fear of the Lord is what will protect them. The fear of the Lord will be what will guard them. This doesn't guarantee that to be a shield from difficulty or a shield from enemies, those things are going to come. But this guarantees to know for certain that it's a fountain of life even in the midst of those things. One more. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 23. The fear of the Lord leads to life, and whoever has it rest satisfied. He will not be visited by harm. Moms, you can't guarantee safety for your children. You can't guarantee success. But you can guarantee that if they have the fear of the Lord, it will lead to life. Does it really make a difference to be a godly mom that you're wondering if it makes an eternal difference? Do you think that it's actually going to stick with them? Do you think, or is there days where the enemy comes and tries to help you or cause you to be defeated and makes you think all I've done today is in vain? Are they ever going to get anything that I say? When you're ready to throw the towel in, you're ready to pull out every last bit of hair that you have. It does make a difference. I want to illustrate it in this way. This is a Bible that I keep in my office. This was the Bible that was given to me in 1990, the month after I surrendered to preach at the age of 15. This Bible is special. It has a lot of memories. Just flipping through it this morning, looking at some sermon notes. Things have changed a lot in my preaching since I was 15. But there's something that's special about this, because in the very back of this Bible, there was a note written by my mom. Does it matter? The things that you give your children, do you think it's going to stay with them? I'll read this. Byron, always do what Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says. The very text that Amanda read on the screen for us today, that says, trust in the Lord and lean not to your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. That verse has been my life verse, and it became my life verse after this being written there. So does it matter of the faithfulness of what moms give their children? Absolutely. Even though this Bible sits on my shelf, this truth lives in my heart and my mind. My mom continued to write, I will always pray for you. Does that make a difference? Oh, yeah. To know that a faithful mother who will intercede and pray for her son. And the last thing that she wrote, remember, love is a great asset when dealing with people. I've had to have more love when things have been challenging, or when maybe my flesh wanted to respond a certain way. So I want to say to you, don't underestimate the words that you say, moms, to your children. It may be the very etching of a word that you say on their heart and mind, like my mom's was, to my Bible in 1990, 30 years ago. I'm telling you that today I'm a product of a partnership of my dad and my mom, and the faithfulness of the teaching that came, and the diligence for them to pour into my life. Many of you are faithful And today it's simply just to be an encouragement to you, to fan the flame for you. Keep giving the Word of God to your kids. Don't lose heart. Persevere. Know that what you are doing is simply fighting against the enemy and giving them solid truth so that they can put their hope in God. So mothers, your first hope is to know the Lord yourself. You can't do it on your own strength. So again, as I began, I would ask you, do you know God as your Savior for yourself? If not today, surrender it all to Him. Moms, in your busyness and chaos of doing all that you do, are you trying to make time for yourself to be alone and be quiet with the Lord so the Holy Spirit can fuel you to be able to give you the strength that you need? Mom, weary mother, what do you need today? You need refreshing. Then know that even as Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. My prayer today is that God will encourage your weary heart. But some of you may be worried, mothers, because you gave your teaching to your kids, and maybe your kid, even as a young child, is questioning God. Maybe your child is being rebellious. Maybe your children are grown and you don't see them holding to those teachings. Your job in that moment is, obviously they're out of your hands, they're out of your home. Your job is now just to be on your knees and to intercede for the sake of your children and trust that the words that you gave to them, that God can bring those back to them and that God can put other people in their path to water the seeds that were there. Remember, our job as parents is simply to teach and allow God to work in them. Children, my last word is to you. The Bible tells you very clearly in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. For it comes with a promise that there will be days added to your life. That's almost the exact same thing as what's being said in Proverbs 1. It's said differently. In Proverbs 1, it's saying, if you hear this and you heed this, it's going to be like a garland and a pendant. You can be victorious, as opposed to someone who's arrogant and foolish to neglect and ignore the godly teaching. Because the Bible tells us there's a way that seems right to man, and the end of it is eternal death. Children, if your mother is a godly mother, you have a godly father, hear them and obey them and honor the Lord, for it is right. Godly moms, our heart's desire is to fan the flame of encouragement for you today. To pray that God will use your teaching and your influence and your impact to hopefully impact the next generation. That maybe from right here, from Redemption Church, that God would raise up some children to become young men and young women that God would use greatly for the kingdom. To be like little Timothy's. To be people who are passionate for the Lord Jesus Christ. That God may raise them up to be CEOs of company. To be able to be strong voices for the sake of God. Maybe godly politicians, godly lawyers, or godly doctors, or godly teachers, or godly missionaries to go for the sake of the gospel. We don't know what they're going to do. But what we can do right now is to give it to them and let God mold them for the sake of the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your truth of your word this morning. And I know that as moms listen to this today, there are emotions that are all over the map. Mother's Day for some is hard. Because maybe their moms weren't around, or maybe their mother was taken at a young age. Or maybe even mothers who have lost their own children. And today makes those memories and those scars very real. God, maybe there are some mothers who have just been close to just wanting to quit and throw the towel in and wondering if all that they do even matters for the sake of the kingdom. Thank you for the reminder today from your word that it matters. That their role in teaching and influence in their child's life can cause them and to help them to have a high reverence and fear of you. So Lord, today I ask that you simply encourage the hearts of the moms. Build up their hearts. The ones who are wearied, refresh them. The ones who are worried, give peace. And the ones who have laid down this responsibility and they've been encouraged today to pick it back up again, then God, give them zeal. Give them passion. But God, we do ask today for the children that are being taught, that the seeds of your word would plant deep, and that you would cause children of all ages to hear and be reminded of the very truths of God that will give them life. So God, I do ask that if there are any who are listening right now who has been rebellious to what's being given, rebellious to the authority that's placed over them, God, work in them. Help them to realize that their parents are a blessing from you. So, Lord, in this very moment, through the power of your Holy Spirit, we ask that you would speak to the hearts through this internet means to every person in their need. And, Lord, there may be some who are single dads that are out there, and this word has encouraged them to realize that even though they don't have a spouse to be a partner, but today they've been reminded that their job is also to speak the word to their kids. Lord, our heart's desire is to see children won to saving faith in you. So today, even in this moment, if there's any who've heard this and they realize that they have yet to yield their own life to you, then today, God, draw them to salvation. We pray these things in Jesus' name. As our musicians are going to begin to play, we're going to give you some time there at your home or in your workplace or your break room or in your car just to reflect on what God's Word has said. Listen, if your heart's heavy and you're weary, God knows. Just pour it out to Him. Let Him begin to bring healing to you. Ask Him for refreshment. If you're a worried mom for your children and the way they behave, and pour it out to God. Peter tells us to cast all our anxiety on God because He cares for us. Give it to Him. Don't carry that burden alone. And even after today, if there's someone that you've not shared your burden with, call them, share it with them so they can pray with you. If you have listened to this and you've just realized you've neglected your role, then I challenge you to repent of that and then make some steps today. Make a change. Begin to pour into your kids. We'll give you a time to respond. Just in quietness as they play, let God meet you right where you are. And then we will sing a prayer to our God. So take some time to pray. And maybe even if you are a believer and you've had a godly mom in this very time, pray for her. Pray for her to be strong. Pray for her to continue to be faithful. Pray for God to refresh her soul so she can continue to be the godly mother that she needs to be. Let's take some time to pray and respond.